Everybody, welcome to Daystar. I want to welcome all of our campuses, those of you that have joined us online, and all of the men at the Caswell County Correctional Facility. So glad that y'all joined us today. And I want to take a minute and introduce our guest speaker. Now, for many of you, Hannah does not need an introduction. Hannah Mullen has attended our church for about 7 years. She came as a college student. She jumped right in, began serving on our A-team, and through the years, she's done any number of things at Daystar Church. After graduating with her undergraduate degree, she went on and got her master's from UNCG in counseling, and today is a licensed counselor. But in addition to that, she is one of our Cultivate Pastors students. A few weeks ago, she submitted a sermon, she auditioned, and after I heard that sermon, I told her, I said, that's as good a message as I've ever heard. But not only that, that message would be great to kick off our next series. So I asked her, instead of preaching last Sunday, I asked her to do it today to get us started. And I said, listen, again, I need your help. Man, this is the first time she has ever preached a sermon anywhere. So man, let's laugh hard, let's clap hard, let's amen, let's make it easy, let's pull it out of her. I'm telling you, if you're hungry to hear from God, today is your day. I'm so excited that Hannah is here to share her heart. So why don't you join me, stand to your feet, let's put our hands together and welcome Hannah to Daystar Stage.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much. Thank you. Like Pastor Allen said, my name is Hannah, and I am so honored and excited to be up here sharing with you all today. Something that I'm very passionate about. This message is something that's a big part of my story and something that I'm excited to share. I also want to just kind of give a shout out. I know Pastor Allen greeted all of our campuses and those watching online, but I want to say hello to my grandparents watching online. I love you. So as you can see, we're starting a new series called Adulting. And when I think of being an adult, the word adulting, I just think of a lot of things that require responsibility and maturity, a lot of big decisions that maybe require some wisdom to think through and plan through. It's not just as simple anymore. There's a lot more complicated things that require that time and that effort. And I love this quote that I saw as I was working on this. How many of you have ever felt this way? I officially resigned from adulthood. Decisions will be made using eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and will be settled. Arguments will be settled by sticking out my tongue, and I'll be at recess if you need me. And the truth is, I think in our culture, we're growing up in this fast-paced world. We're taught to want things as fast as possible for the least amount of effort. We want someone else to make the tough decisions for us. And we want everything to be easy and simple. We want the privileges of being an adult without the responsibility. We want the reward without the process. But I think when we judge the process to not be worth the effort and all we're thinking about is the outcome, we often miss out on God and his blessing. So I think if we're not careful, this can really hurt our relationships. Part of our spiritual growth, part of our maturity is learning to do relationships well. So when it comes to our relationships, it's time to start adulting. I think our culture has a pretty skewed understanding of what relationships and real connection really means. If we think about it, technology and cell phones have drastically changed the way we interact with one another. A lot of our meetings happen over Skype or email even. We might text someone throughout the day, but never see their face. We order things online instead of going to a store. And technology has really fostered a lot of isolation in a lot of ways. It's made us a little more intimidated by in-person connection. We shy away from that community because it feels like work. But the reality is, that's what we were created for. So I think over time, this lack of connection can really have a big impact on us. When we think about a lot of kids these days, and adults, truthfully, spend a lot of hours in front of a screen every day. And kids aren't playing outside as much. They're not learning to problem solve and learn how to manage conflict and compromise with one another. It makes me think about growing up. I had next door neighbors, two kids that were close to my sister and I's age. And we played outside all the time, and inevitably we had some conflict. You know, so-and-so is bossing me around. So-and-so doesn't want to do this. And so we'd go running inside to tell our friend's mom. And she would always tell us to go right back outside and work it out ourselves. And I'm so thankful she did that, even though we were frustrated, because she taught us to value our friendship over the conflict we were having. Relationships are powerful. I think we all know this. Think about when you interact with other people, you're essentially connecting them to the people that have shaped you and influenced you. We all have significant pieces of our parents, teachers maybe, others who have had a big impact on us in our lives. I think about Pastor Allen and his relationship with his mentor, Dr. Bennett. When we interact with Pastor Allen and when he's up here teaching on a Sunday, we're also experiencing his connection with Dr. Bennett and the ways that he's influenced his life. And the truth is, I would not be up here if it weren't for many relationships in my life that have shaped me and grown me and challenged me, including my parents who are here. Shout out to them. And I got flack for this last service, so Pastor Jonathan is one of the first people who believed in me as a leader, as a college student, first thing. He's encouraged me since day one, and I'm so thankful for his leadership. I'm thankful for Pastor Dan's leadership in my life, Pastor Eric in Cultivate Pastors Now, who's leading me and encouraging me. All of those people have had a tremendous impact on my life. So in the same way, when others interact with us, we also have the ability to connect them with God. Think about this. What if you were so connected to God that when you talk to other people, they directly experienced his love? What if you mirrored his character so closely that when people interacted with you, they couldn't help but want to know God? So it's not news to us that we're created to live in relationship, but how do we experience all that God has for us? That's what I want to talk about today. But first, let's talk about a few things that might prevent us from connecting with others. The short answer to this is the enemy. We have a real spiritual enemy who desires to disconnect and isolate us. We know we're stronger together. We can't build the kingdom alone. So the enemy's plan is to steal, kill, and destroy any connections that we're able to have. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Genesis 3, we're going to look at a couple ways that the enemy kind of schemes and tries to keep us from connection. Starting in verse 1, it says, "The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any of the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?' 'Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden,' the woman replied. 'It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die.' 'You won't die,' the serpent replied to the woman. 'God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil.' The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too." So the first thing we see the enemy working in this relationship is causing doubt. He causes Eve to doubt that God is good and distorts his instructions to them. So moving on in verse 7, we see at that moment, their eyes were opened, and suddenly they felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. So the second thing we see the enemy doing, introducing to this relationship, is shame. Shame keeps us from bringing things into the light, which the enemy loves. Shame keeps us silent, hiding our sin from others, which only allows it to grow. But when we invite someone in and connect with them, sharing our struggle rather than hiding, the power of relationship allows for healing to take place. We can't receive forgiveness from God until we first come to him in relationship. So moving down to verse 8, "When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' And Adam replied, 'I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked.'" So we see Adam and Eve hiding in their shame, which is also causing them to be afraid. They're afraid of what God is going to say or do because they've messed up. I think many times we avoid connecting with someone because we're afraid of confrontation or we're afraid of rejection. The risk seems too great. But the truth is, if we avoid the relationship, that does nothing to foster connection either. It's a lose-lose situation. Fear can also keep us in unhealthy relationships longer than we're meant to be. It might be the fear of missing out, or the fear of being alone. But what we're really missing out on is God's best for us. So moving down to verse 11. "Who told you that you were naked?" the Lord God asked. "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" The man replied, "It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it." Then the Lord God asked the woman, "What have you done?" "The serpent deceived me," she replied. "That's why I ate it." So here we see pride entering the picture. We've got Adam blaming Eve for their mistake and Eve blaming the serpent instead of admitting that they were the ones that made the wrong choice. It's much easier to point the finger at someone else than admitting we were wrong. Pride destroys connection. It easily leads to unforgiveness or resentment. And pride can also destroy connection when we say, "You know what, I don't need you. I can figure this out on my own." Proverbs 29:23 says, "Pride ends in humiliation, while humility brings honor." Humility fosters connection because it says, "I actually need you. I value this connection more than any conflict, more than being right." Adulting is about choosing humility, choosing the connection. So in order to experience all that God has intended for us, I think it's important to understand these things that might get in our way. But what actually does foster connection? Humility, courage, vulnerability, trust. These things might take a little work. It's not always easy, but it's so worth it. So let's talk about God's plan for connection. If we look back a chapter in Genesis 2, verse 18, it says, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him.'" And so then God goes and brings all the animals that he's created to Adam and invites him to name them one by one. But none of them were suitable enough to be a companion for Adam, not even man's best friend. So God creates woman from Adam's own body. And Adam says, "At last, this one is like me. I can connect with her. I can do life with her." The human connection is so powerful, and God knew that when he created a partner for Adam. He designed us to need connection with him and with one another in order to live. So let's talk about three ways that God has designed relationships to be powerful in our lives. The first way is that relationships comfort us. Connection is one of our most powerful tools for comfort and healing. When a newborn baby is born, the first shape they're able to recognize is the human face. And I think that that tells us, from birth, we're wired for connection. When a lot of people ask me why I wanted to become a counselor, what got me interested in counseling, and I often tell a story from a mission trip back in Guatemala in 2012. We were there for about 2 months, and each week my team visited an orphanage while we were there. And there was a baby room in this orphanage, which was my favorite room, and there were about 12 cribs in the room, each with one or two babies in the crib. When we first walked into this room, it was eerily quiet. The only thing we could hear were the fans going in the room. But the babies weren't sleeping. They were all awake. It's kind of strange. So each time we went, I chose the same little boy to play with. His name was Diego, and I have a photo of us together from one of the first weeks we were there. He's very cute. So why were the babies so quiet? What we know about attachment is that during a baby's first year or so of life, they form a trusting relationship with whoever's taking care of them, a parent or a caregiver. When they're hungry, they get fed. When they're wet, they get changed. If they're upset or they're crying, they'll be comforted. They'll be picked up. But when these needs are not met consistently enough, the baby does not feel safe trusting the adult or trusting their environment. This has a major impact on their development. They either learn, "I can trust that someone will take care of me," or, "I can't trust that someone will always comfort me." When babies feel secure, they're able to learn to self-soothe on their own. But when they don't, their emotional system shuts down in order to survive. So in this orphanage, these babies' physical needs were being met, but there just simply weren't enough adults in the orphanage to play with them and talk to them and hold them all the time. So they had not experienced an emotional bond. These babies learned not to cry because they couldn't be sure someone would come every time. Well, this is heartbreaking. The good news is the brain is able to adapt and learn very quickly. So after we spent about 4 weeks in this orphanage visiting with the babies, they started to cry whenever we left. They were starting to bond with us. Anyone who has a small child who has trouble separating you from the nursery when you come to church knows exactly what I'm talking about. But be encouraged that your baby is securely attached to you. So one of the last weeks we were there, I saw Diego smile and laugh for the first time. I have another photo of us playing together that day, and I'll never forget it. So not only are relationships comforting, they're life-saving. We're social beings. We're wired for connection. We need each other in order to survive. So some of you may be like Diego, and you've stopped crying out to God. For whatever reason, maybe you don't believe he'll come to you, or you don't believe that he hears you. But the Bible is full of promises that tell us otherwise. He does hear you, and he's desperate to connect with you. Psalm 18:6 says, "In my distress, I cried out to the Lord. I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry to him reached his ears." Psalm 34:4 says, "I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears." Psalm 34:17 says, "The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles." And Psalm 91:15 says, "When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble." He hears you. He wants to connect with you. He is the source of all comfort. And we know this. 2 Corinthians 1 tells us God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. The comfort is in the relationship. But in order to get there, connection does require some vulnerability. There's a little bit of risk involved. When I was preparing this message, I saw a quote that someone posted by Pastor Stephen Furtick at Elevation Church, and I thought it was really relevant, so I want to share it. It says, "The danger of isolation is much greater than the risk of intimacy." I'll say it again. "The danger of isolation is much greater than the risk of intimacy." So alone, we're vulnerable to the enemy. But when we're connected with others and with God, we're strong. Our identity is secure in Christ, and we're powerful. If any of you remember playing Red Rover on the playground as a kid, I hated that game. But you know that the stronger your connections with one another, the harder it was for someone to run across the playground and break through the line. And the same is true in our connections with one another. The stronger our relationships, the harder it is for the enemy to break through. Ecclesiastes 4 illustrates this well. It says, "Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken." So connection takes some risk because it requires some trust. So we're gonna do a little experiment. In just a minute, I'm gonna ask you to turn to someone next to you and make eye contact with them for just 15 seconds. I'm giving you time to think about who your person's gonna be, okay? All right, so ready? 15 seconds, go. Okay, okay, you can stop, you can stop. For some of you, that was extremely uncomfortable. Probably felt like the longest 15 seconds of your life. So what was going through your mind? Were you thinking about, what is this person thinking about me? I feel like they can see my soul. It's vulnerable to look into someone's eyes. Without saying a word, you just connected to that person in a very personal way. So connection requires a little bit of courage, but courage leads to trust, and trust leads to comfort. Without it, we're in far more danger. So take the risk to make the connection. So relationships comfort us and bring safety, but they can also bring challenges. Second thing is that relationships challenge us. We have to be willing to navigate some differences, conflict, and hurt in relationships. This is just the reality of being connected with one another, with other human beings. Also remember that it's Satan's goal to steal, kill, and destroy any connection we may have. So the first challenge we might face is conflict. The only way to deal with conflict is in the context of a relationship. If we're always running away from conflict, our relationships will never last. Part of adulting well is learning how to handle conflict, simply just part of being in relationship with others. We have a choice to let conflict either destroy our connection or build it stronger. James 1:19 says, "You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry." Proverbs 14:29 says, "People with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness." Ephesians 4 says, "Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourself together with peace." Remember who the real enemy is. It's not the person you're in a relationship with. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the devil, our real spiritual enemy. Pastor Allen has a great message entirely on conflict back from November. I would highly encourage you to go listen to it if you haven't heard it. So another challenge we might face in relationships is difference. And the truth is, we are all different from one another in various ways. But I think it's important that we intentionally spend time with people who are different from us. Maybe different culture, different race, different language, different season of life, different beliefs. I think some of the most influential relationships in our lives are those we have with people who are different from us, because they challenge us to think differently and consider another perspective. I'm thankful for my friends who are in different seasons, those who are married and with kids. I learn things from them that I would never learn on my own. I think life would be pretty boring if we were all around people just like us all the time. I have a friend that I've known since middle school, and she stays in touch with me every once in a while. She'll message me, and she has a different belief system than I do, and so she'll just ask me questions about, why do you think this, and where does this belief come from? And I enjoy engaging in that conversation with her. It's really challenged me to become more confident in defending my faith and explaining why I believe the things that I do. And it's not torn our relationship apart. It's actually grown it stronger. So another challenge that we might face in relationship is rejection. Now, the church that I grew up in was very large, and I didn't go to the same school as any of the other kids in my Sunday school or youth group. It was kind of hard for me. I felt like I didn't really belong, and I felt excluded a lot of the time. I felt like no one really wanted to talk to me, and I kind of felt disconnected. Rejection is painful because the enemy can quickly convince us to internalize that rejection as self-hatred. I had a choice to make in those years. Am I going to decide to let this rejection, this feeling of rejection, inform my beliefs about who God is and who the church is? Or am I going to let it build my connection stronger and push me closer to Him? Thankfully, I had a group of friends who invited me to their church and their youth group, and they showed me that I was worthy of connection. They welcomed me with open arms. Those relationships helped me overcome the seed of rejection that the enemy tried to plant in me. Some of you are avoiding relationships, or you're avoiding a certain conversation because you're afraid of rejection. Don't let the enemy have that ground. Push in and choose the connection. Amen. So another challenge we might face in relationship is hurt. And this can come in many forms: infidelity, betrayal, loss. These are some of the most painful things we experience in life. But the truth is, the pain of these things indicates there was a relationship there in the first place. We only know heartbreak if we've first known love. We've only known betrayal if we've first known trust. When we look at the story of Jesus and Lazarus, we see that even Jesus felt the pain of loss. He understood what his friends were feeling when Lazarus died. He wept with them. And I think this shows us that God wants to connect with us in our pain. He understands. So a final challenge we might face in our relationships is loneliness. I know you might think loneliness just means someone who's alone and doesn't have any relationships, but the truth is, you can be surrounded by people and still feel lonely. Amen. You can be married, you can have kids, even an introvert can feel lonely. I think my generation in particular is suffering from a serious lack of healthy connections. We may be in relationship, but what we're missing is real connection. We're more depressed, more lonely, and more disconnected than ever. We kind of have a false sense of connection due to social media, which actually hinders our ability to truly connect. We often scroll through Facebook and Instagram looking for connection through likes and comments and messages. But what ends up happening is we see everything we're missing out on. We compare what others have to what we don't have, and we're left feeling more lonely than ever. And as a single adult, loneliness is one of the main ways the enemy tries to get to me. The enemy loves to isolate us and lie to us about our worth and who we are. Now, let me be clear for a minute. Loneliness and solitude are not the same thing. In order to have healthy connection, we also need space and time alone. I think it's interesting that God didn't create Adam and Eve at the same time. Adam needed to be alone first to understand his need for relationship. there's a healthy level of solitude that actually allows us to connect with others more deeply because we've had time alone to connect with ourselves and with God. Adulting is about understanding who you are as an individual before you try to show up in a relationship. If we don't have a healthy relationship with ourselves, connecting with others will be very challenging. We must know ourselves before we can allow ourselves to be fully known. And the reward of connection is in the process, not the outcome. And the truth is, the outcome doesn't happen without that process. So how do we get through all of these challenges? The answer is, don't do it alone. Thinking back to my first point, when we connect relationally, we have access to comfort and healing. Eve was alone when the serpent was tempting her to eat the fruit. Isolation is dangerous. This is where the enemy does his best work. And this is the reason we are so passionate about small groups at Daystar. In the context of relationship, healing and growth can happen. We're challenged to dive deeper, and our relationships hold us accountable when we struggle with sin. We're designed that way for a reason. That's how God desires to connect with us. And I believe this is our job as the church. We're called to live in community, to invite in the lonely and the hurting, to challenge one another, to love and to encourage. So I'm going to challenge you next week when small groups open up online, sign up, choose connection for the fall semester. If I'm struggling with something, of course, I want to pray through it and pray about it, but I'm not just going to text someone or ask for some magic advice. I want to meet face to face with a friend because I really, truly need connection with a human. This is really important. So relationships comfort us, they challenge us, and third, relationships change us. Relationships can change us positively and negatively. If you think about the most influential people in your life, what gave them that power over you? Most likely it's your relationship with them. Whether good or bad, that relational influence is very strong. It's impossible to connect with someone and not be impacted in some way. Even that very brief 15 seconds, you felt some kind of way after that was over. Our brains are wired in such a way that fosters connection constantly. Remember that we're created this way for survival. My story about Diego illustrates that. Kids learn to navigate the world by imitating others, not by what we tell them, but by connecting. So in the 1980s, scientists discovered something called mirror neurons. Basically, this means there are cells in our brain that allow us to feel and experience what someone else is actually feeling or doing. So let me show you a picture that kind of illustrates this. This baby is mimicking the faces of the man. If you've never stuck your tongue out at a little baby, I recommend it because they'll copy you. Or have you ever cried watching a sad movie or jump when someone else gets scared? Or do you feel nervous for someone else giving a presentation even though you're not the one up there? Or do you smile when taking someone else's picture? This is mirror neurons at work. This is what gives us the ability to feel empathy, to actually feel what someone else is feeling. Our brain is wired to respond that way, to foster connection with one another. So the researchers who discovered this did an experiment with monkeys where they used electrodes to measure their brain waves. And they found that when the researcher picked up a peanut, the monkey's brain lit up with the same area that would indicate the monkey was picking up the peanut. And when the researcher put the peanut in his mouth, the monkey's brain lit up as if it were eating the peanut, even though it was just watching. I think it's amazing that God created us this way. We're constantly getting feedback from one another. If we learn to pay attention to this feedback, how others perceive us, we know what we might need to change in order to foster that connection. A lot of feedback can come verbally, but a lot more of it comes non-verbally. If you think about body language, facial expression, tone, this is why face-to-face connection is so important. How many of you have ever had a miscommunication over an email or a text message? Exactly. So relationships cause us to constantly make adjustments because we're wired for connection. Things that disrupt that connection are naturally unpleasant because we want to maintain that relationship. Adulting is when we start to realize that relationships require patience and compromise in order to grow us and change us. So as an example of this, I have a very good friend who is a lot more bold than I am. She's very comfortable debating or challenging things that other people might say. I tend to be more of a peacemaker, but as I spent more time with her, I've started to develop a lot more confidence in voicing my opinion and not being afraid of someone disagreeing with me. Otherwise, our conversations would end pretty quickly because she would challenge something, and I would just be like, yeah, that sounds good. Over time, her relationship has really changed me, and I've learned to embrace conflict and the ways that it can be really helpful. And I've grown in my ability to be confrontational, but only when I absolutely have to. Every single one of you in this room has the ability to influence the people around you. We have the power to influence each other's lives for good or for bad. Remember the mirror neurons. What traits do you want the people around you to reflect? Think about your family, your friends, your coworkers, your kids. You may never know the impact you have on other people, but your actions and words indicate the most important things about you, who you are. Do they know that you're a Christian? Do your words and actions, what do they teach them about who God is? Think about the people that you spend the most time with. Are their actions and words things you want your own life to mirror? I think that our family relationships have much more of an impact on us than we realize. I think a lot of people have trouble with their concept of God because of their broken relationship with one of their parents. Maybe your dad was abusive and didn't feel very loving, and that's why you have trouble seeing God as a loving father. It's hard to understand that God is present and wants to be with you if your mom was kind of absent and not really there for you. So how have your relationships shaped your view of God? And how do you shape theirs? A practical example of this, when I think about my training as a counselor, in school, we learn all of these theories about counseling, and research has shown us that no one theory is more effective than another, because the power of change, the power of healing, is in the relationship between the counselor and the client. The hurt they've experienced is able to heal when they experience the safety and trust and empathy of another human being. The vehicle for change is the relationship. And the same is true with God. God changes us and we change one another. We don't change by simply knowing about God. We change by walking with God every day. In John 15, Jesus uses the metaphor of a vine and branches. Show us that we're created to abide in Christ, to stay connected. Apart from him, disconnected from the vine, we can't do anything. So in John 15, in verse 4, he says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And skipping down to verse 12, this is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. I think this is the best advice on relationships we could ever have. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. This is what real adulting is about, not taking BuzzFeed quizzes to find your soulmate. Adulting is about connecting to the true vine, the source of wisdom and love. When we're in relationship with God, we have everything we need to have healthy relationships with one another. His love flows from the vine to the branches. And every time we connect with someone else, we have the ability to connect them to the vine, to Jesus. I'm so thankful for the 21 days of prayer that our church is doing right now. This season, over the past several years, this is how I've learned to connect with God. It serves as kind of a reset button for me, and I usually delete social media from my phone during these 21 days. And this time I have an app on my phone that tracks my phone usage, and it's told me that on average, I've gained back 2.5 hours of time to connect with real people, and I'm so grateful. So we've talked about some things that keep us from connection. The enemy's plan to isolate and disconnect us. But God has designed us to be in relationship with him and with one another. He is the source of our comfort. He challenges us to be more like him. And relationship is the main way God changes us. God created us to live this way, knowing we would love each other deeply and hurt each other deeply. There's a reason God chose to redeem us to himself through a relationship. After Adam and Eve messed up, our relationship with God and others was broken. God came looking for Adam in the garden. Rather than splitting them up or dividing the garden in half, he came looking to repair the relationship. Ever since then, God is still continuing to repair this relationship with us. He could have created more rules and laws for us to follow, but we would still break them. Instead, he demonstrated his love for us by sending Jesus to lay down his life, so that there was a way to restore a right relationship with him and experience the life he desires for us. His answer to our doubt is drawing close in intimacy. His answer to our shame is forgiveness. His answer to our fear is love. And his answer to our pride is grace when we fall. In the beginning, God connected with Adam face to face. That was his original intention. But later, encountering the presence of God during the Old Testament was enough to kill you. It was dangerous. Moses was the only prophet that was able to connect with God face to face. In the New Testament, we see God's plan to repair the relationship through Jesus so that we will one day connect with him face to face again. 1 Corinthians 13:12 tells us, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face." God didn't intend for us to know about him indirectly. He wants us to know him intimately and personally. All the things we don't understand fully, we don't have the whole picture right now, or they may seem kind of blurry. One day we will understand with perfect clarity when we see him face to face. Can you imagine if you were like Moses and your face shone whenever you spent time in the presence of God? That may not happen physically, but the Spirit of God is in you, which means when you interact with other people, you have that opportunity. We are made in the image of God. We have a unique ability to mirror Christ to one another. So how do we experience all God's best for us in relationships? It starts with a relationship with Jesus. That's where healing happens, love, forgiveness, and trust. God wants to draw near in relationship with you. And when we learn to connect with him, our relationships with others will never be the same. As I close, I just want to share a little bit about how my relationship with God began. Like I said, I was raised in church my whole life. No matter how hard I tried to be a good kid and follow the rules, I still fell short, and I felt like I was missing something. I started to realize that following Jesus was about something a lot more than just following rules. Following Jesus was about knowing him, talking to him, and walking with him. I first started to understand this in middle school. I was going through confirmation at my church at the time, and we had to memorize Psalm 23 as part of our assignments. Verse 4 says, "I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me." In that moment, God started to become real to me. He wasn't just a set of rules or ideas. He was a person who loved me. He actually wanted to be with me. And there's a line in one of my favorite songs that says, "You rejected my rejection." How fitting that in this season of my life, I was feeling this rejection, and God accepted me. He invited me in. When I was in 8th grade, I prayed for God to change my heart. I didn't want to just know about Jesus. I wanted to know him personally. I wanted to walk with him and talk to him. And ever since then, he's changed my life forever. After that day, I began learning to hear his voice, understand who he created me to be. I'm accepted, not rejected. I'm loved beyond measure. And I could never experience that without personally walking with God. So I just want to invite everybody in the room to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'll turn the service over to Pastor Eric at Horsepin Creek. Maybe you're like me and you grew up in church, or maybe this is all pretty new to you. It's more recent in your life, but you know that you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. If that's you and you want to change that today, let's do that right now. He's waiting to connect with you, to communicate with you, and love you. He loves you no matter what. There's no criteria for coming to him, just a willing heart. He wants you to know him like a father and a friend, not a set of rules. So if you're ready to pray and invite him into your life and connect with him today, I just want you to pray this prayer after me. It's not magic, it's just a way to connect with God. I'm gonna help you do that. If you're ready, just pray this with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you that you desire a relationship with me. God, I know I've messed up in the past. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you that you've made a way for me to have a right relationship with you. I know I can't do it on my own. So God, I invite you to be my Savior and my King. Transform my life. Transform my relationships. I want to know you personally and intimately, and it starts today. In Jesus' name.
Hey everyone, thanks for checking out Daystar Church online. I hope that this message encouraged and strengthened your faith today. We would love to hear about what God is doing in your life. So please email us about it at mystory@daystargso.com. If you'd like to find out more about Daystar Church or how you can get involved and support our ministry, just visit our website, daystargso.com. Thanks again, and we hope to have you back soon.